I'd like to talk about this very strange figure from the book of Revelation. There are a bunch of strange figures in the book of Revelation, but this business of being washed in the blood of the Lamb is particularly weird. And I'd like to start by taking up this last line from this passage from the Gospel of John, where John has Jesus said, "The Father and I are one." What does that mean? I'm not talking about consubstantial with the Father, light of light. You know, that's centuries later where they talked about Jesus' relationship with God in that fashion, that kind of ontological fashion. Here we're just talking about one in intention. What God wants, Jesus wants. And in that case, the Father and I are one. And that's, of course, the clue to this whole business of the Lamb and being washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a rich repertoire of Lamb figures through the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament, too. John the Baptist introduces Jesus as, when he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." There's that great passage in Isaiah, like a lamb before its slaughterers, he did not open his mouth. There's that. And then, of course, the principal lamb is the lamb of the Passover, where the blood of the lamb spread over the doorposts of the Jews, protected them from the wrath of God, whatever that is all about. In any case, there's a lot of lamb talk. And what the author of Revelation, whoever it was getting at, I think, was something like this. Jesus was killed as in the metaphor of the lamb, simply because he did not resist evil. The simple fact, of course, is to resist evil with evil is simply to multiply the quantity of evil in the world. To resist violence with a counter-violence simply produces more violence. Full stop. There are no alternatives to that, it seems to me. In any case, is Jesus' non-resistance to evil? Jesus didn't open his mouth. I mean, you go to the Passion narratives and you hear this uncanny silence of Jesus. And for this reason, he shed his blood. His blood was shed, the Lamb of God. And we have to be aware that when this was written, the beginning of the second century, Rome was still very much the power of the world. And Rome, of course, was the very metaphor for violence. The Roman Empire, imperial power, exercised, effected by the sword. What the writer is getting at, to say that these people have washed their blood in the Lamb, and you'll notice, is they have chosen to do it. It doesn't happen that the blood's there and then they kind of fall in this pile of blood. No, they have chosen to put on the same kind of demeanor that Jesus had in the face of imperial violence. And we know that that's the way empires work then. Just as empires work that way today, you know. Whether it's Iraq, Afghanistan, wherever in the world, we keep multiplying the quantum of violence in the world. There doesn't seem to be any alternatives. We human beings suffer from an enormous poverty of imagination to think that there might be some other way of responding to violence and oppression. We have Gandhi, we have Martin Luther King, both of whom deeply rooted in the New Testament. Blessed are the peacemakers. So in this Baroque and kind of code-like fashion, that's what they're trying to say. The people who have resisted the temptation to return violence for violence, those are the people who have put on the blood of the Lamb. It's not some kind of private thing where Jesus sort of just comes down and swoops and saves me. It's my choice precisely to replicate in my life this non-resistance to violence. It's extraordinary demanding, you know. We have very few instances of that, I think, in the history of the church, in the present history of the church, for that matter. But that's what we're called to. That's what this text is. To recognize, first of all, that the world really does go by on its way under the power of violence. Whether it's the violence of Wall Street greed, the violence of armies, the multiple forms of violence in our world. Say, I will not contribute to that. I will not participate in that. And take the consequences. There's always going to be the shedding of blood. Always going to be the shedding of blood. So it's ferocious, this weird thing. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you washed your clothes in the blood of the Lamb? And you see, it's only out of that that all these promises are made. If I have precisely participated in God's intention for the world, which is peace between us human beings, and then all this other stuff, there will be no hunger, sun will not strike them, the Lamb at its center of the throne will be their shepherd, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Only within that context is that even thinkable. And that's what all this business of the worship of the Lamb and participation in that life of the Lamb is about. That we are supposed to exemplify to the world the power of nonviolence.